Is there a second?
For purposes of discussion, I'll second.
Okay, for purposes of discussion, seconded by Ms. Mathak. Ms. Mathak, would you like to discuss?
Well, I see everybody gathering, so I have a feeling we're about to get discussed with Planter. Now, I do have some questions that I'm trying to sort through, but if other people have questions they want to raise first, I'm willing to defer.
No, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, I just have some questions about the proposal that came forward to us. Let me just pull out some of the notes I have. Some of them are just basically informational. For example, on page one, you refer to an Institute of Higher Education. What is that?
Well, that's taking some language from our... Did you want me to respond?
No, go ahead.
That's taking some language from the work that we do with our Title IIb Math Science Partnership work. They refer to the local universities as institutes of higher education. That's kind of the general term that they use. I kept it general just because of the fact that in the report they had suggested that we work with the university or other local universities, and so... that's why that term.
And they call them institutes, not institutions of higher education?
I get
it. Could vary along with institutions.
Could be the right.
I'm just confusing it. And the reason my ears sort of perked up is because I was unfamiliar with such an institute locally and, in fact, couldn't find any when I Googled. And actually, it turns out that the use of the term program center institute. Certainly at the university is a highly complicated bureaucratic matter that goes up through the Board of Regents. So it's a term that I'm very uncomfortable using unless there's an actual entity associated with it.
Yeah. And if I could additionally clarify, oftentimes that term is used when school districts are working with grant, with higher institutions of higher education. I want to be very clear, the partners that are involved in this discussion are the district, the University of Wisconsin Math Department, and the University of Wisconsin School of Education Math Department. Those are the three partners that we're referring to in a specific way.
Okay, and then when I get to page three and I look at the costs, I see that it almost looks like, to me, like we actually added an FTE from the prior proposal, because now an FTE would be reallocated from within teaching and learning, if I understand correctly, but then they still need an additional FTE. Am I misunderstanding that?
No, the additional FTE is just continued into beginning in 09-10 and carried through 10-11, so it is the same. It's not new additional each year.
It's one additional position.
One additional position, yes.
Right, on top of whatever is supposed to be, okay. But I digress. Okay, and then I see that additional FTE is actually put in at $75,000 a year, and we just heard that the average would be 61.
Okay, that was the number I was given when originally working this out. So,
well, if I could, I think Eric, are you using that number in terms of for general? Yeah, and I think what might be factored in here, although I'd want to go back for certainty, is the fact that the type of teachers that are typically involved in the delivery of these programs have more experience. So that experience factor is in there.
And could you tell me? There's a partnership with the math department and math education at UW-Madison. Why wouldn't we just have them teach the classes? Instead of, I see a lot of sort of FTEs devoted to planning and coordinating and workshops. By my estimation, you could have 25 teachers take 3 credits of university course. And even if you threw in the books, it would come out to about $27,500 a year versus almost $100,000. Why wouldn't we do it that way?
The full text of the recommendations is to work in partnership with the university to both design professional development for in-service teachers and ultimately pre-service teachers making recommendations to the Department of Public Instruction for revisions and changes and improvements in preparation. So the collaboration with the Madison School District, with teaching, pedagogical expertise, with the UW, with the content expertise and the math education expertise, to work together to design a highly improved professional development that's going to yield teachers with deep content knowledge. We believe that the collaborative endeavor is needed to be able to get to that point. The courses that are offered right at this point in time are focused on pre-service, and we're looking at an in-service model that will address the needs of many of our current staff that are already teaching middle school.
But why couldn't you collaborate to have the university teach those classes? The university, Edgewood, METC frequently develop classes in response to employer needs for advanced training for their staff. So why wouldn't you work with them to have them offer the classes? Division of Continuing Studies at UW-Madison, for example, has a regular competition for course development funds. Mm-hmm. What is the benefit of having this group down in teaching and learning planning this when, in fact, the recommendation is not about the pedagogical skills of our teachers, it's about the content? So why wouldn't you do that if you could deliver the materials much more efficiently and cost-effectively by simply working with people who would, in fact, be willing to teach the courses, including, you know, late afternoon, early evening classes, summer session, and online courses? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
And I think what needs to happen, it does need to happen, is the final design for all this needs to be completed. And so I don't think we're saying, and this is the time to correct me if my understanding is wrong, we aren't saying that won't happen. At the same time, I think what we're saying is that there may be some courses that may be shared, mm-hmm. maybe shared by UW Math and UW School of Ed Math. I mean, I don't think any of that is an absolute final form yet. Is that correct?
Yeah, certainly. That's, you know, that's one of the challenges in laying out this plan fully is the fact that we are trying to build it with the UW Math and Math Ed. We've talked about having these courses be co-facilitated by you know, both district staff as well as the university faculty. That's really the original intent here. As well, one of these pieces is to work closely with the redesign committee of the 130 series courses at the university so that not only are we trying to improve our current staff, but we're also trying to improve the services to our pre-service future teachers as well.
Well, is there not Math 135, which is algebraic reasoning for middle and high school teachers? Does that not exist, and are not students currently taking that as part of the education curriculum?
Yes.
Okay, are you going to improve?
What's that? The content of those courses and the way that they're delivered and how they align with essentially the needs of the teachers when they leave that particular program. That's the reason that the university reached out to us to partner with us.
You're saying that the current class 135, which is taught and actually appears to do quite a good job, acceptable to the mathematicians and people who participated in the task force, needs improvement because you somehow know more than they do?
They reached out to us to partner with us to make those improvements. They asked us to help them.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Passman.
Okay. First of all, I realize that teaching and learning is crucial to getting the information to our teachers. I don't have any problem with that. I know that. I just kind of disagree with your responses, a lot of your responses to the task force report, because you continually come back to pedagogy. And what did the task force recommend that our teachers need the most?
Content.
Content. It is content.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many different teachers out there of varying levels of ability, some that are some of the best teachers you could find anywhere that have that pedagogy, that would love to brush up on the content area. We have teachers that are new to the district that need the pedagogy plus the content. So we need a wide variety of approaches to each of our teachers. and so that they have the right to choose what they think their particular needs are. And that's why I asked the superintendent if we could come up with a teacher survey to find out what our teachers need the most, what is most appropriate to their needs, what they would like from the district. Now, I know we've had surveys before, and a lot of good information's come out of them. But now we're coming into the post-task force era, and we have to know from them, will you attend a class at the university? Would you prefer Edgewood? Would you prefer, you know, MATC? What do you want this class to contain? How is it going to help you as a teacher? What do we need in addition to that content class for you? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's extremely important for us to go back to them and ask them what their needs are. Plus, in addition, of course, any of the needs that you see in teaching mm-hmm. and learning, that will help them as well. So that's one of my comments. My other problems, I think Lucy's pretty well covered a lot of the things that I wanted to say, except that I'm particularly interested in what your definition of a math specialist is going to be, what the FTE is going to do, and I certainly think that we have a need now to continue getting beyond the task force, getting beyond, and get going on this. We've been involved with this for too long. What are your absolute immediate needs that you need from this board to get at least things started?
In what I would say on that,
okay,
it's those recommendations that appear in the main of 1 through 5 of what was presented last week. And what we tried to do in the document that was presented last Thursday for tonight's meeting is to break out those costs. And so if it helps to walk through why, you know, what's the shift in terms of the staffing? I asked them to put together a document that would help explain that. I'm happy for us to do that. I just need to know what serves you well. You want us to do that?
That's up to the board.
Ms. Rivera, followed by Ms. Cole.
I was trying to think today of a way to make this discussion a little bit more manageable, because I knew there's going to be many differences. And my concern is having a motion that talks about recommendations 1 through 5 all in one motion is way too all-encompassing, that it's going to be, I think, very difficult for us to probably approve as that is written. So I'll maybe offer to the board, see what you think about this, is to really break down each of the recommendations, because I think some are probably more doable in the form that they're in. Some are going to require the further plan development that the superintendent has alluded to. I think some are fairly straightforward, and we may be able to walk it through in maybe a more meaningful dialogue if we focus on each recommendation individually, if people agree with that.
That's fine with me.
Does it need, well, if you're talking about walking through tonight, then, like each of the recommendations, or does it need more further study per se with, and I guess I would say that, you know, a thought would be to move it back to the committee and talk about each one of these steps. You know, I mean, if we're not ready for prime time, then we're not.
I guess the question is, does... Does the board agree with the recommendations themselves, as they're written? For example, recommendation number 1, to establish the goal of moving to the full use of mathematics specialists in grade 5 through 8 within 6 years. Are we agreeing with the basic recommendations, ignoring maybe how they're implemented? Do we need to get to that basic level of discussion?
Ms. Cole.
I would say that I'm comfortable breaking the recommendations 1 through 5 and talking about them at a later committee meeting, only because when I've looked at the National Math Advisory Council, there's a whole problem when it comes to the definition of what a math specialist is. And when you look at a lot of studies, it can mean many different things. And so I'm uncomfortable voting on something that I'm just not clear of what it would look like. In addition, I do feel that before we move forward, that Ms. Passman makes a good argument that we do need to know what the staff that's going to be involved is thinking. And I know that requires an additional survey. However, when I look at this document, I do notice that it's voluntary. And that's an issue that I think we need to be well aware of, that we need to know exactly how many staff this will serve. And I don't want it to be a self-selecting group of folks that maybe already have a propensity or like math, and so they'll be the ones that are self-selecting for the master's degree or whatever the specialist certificate is, and then we're not really getting to the meat of this whole issue, which is that more developed depth and breadth of mathematics. I also think that we've had a few mathematicians come to us and say, yeah, you're on the right track, but think about this. And I think that this is the opportune time for us to separate out that professional development piece, which the administration is recommending, but at the same time separate out this data that we really haven't pulled apart yet, the other recommendations, which I thought at the time were going to be some of the main recommendations, only because they look over the broad picture of mathematics in the district, specifically having the curriculum align, make sure everybody's on the same page. So my thinking is that this goes back to committee and that we have a data retreat for the other recommendations that deal actually with what's going on in the district.
Ms. Moss.
Okay, several things. I don't think I'm going to go into my questions about the professional development because I think we've kind of moved on from that. But I agree with Ms. Silvera that we need to have something to give you. I would like to give you something tonight that you can work on. And I think our discussion, like you said, it's been all over the place about everything. But if we could come up with maybe one thing to work on, because I feel like this is a pressing need, and I think we need to have something rolling for next fall for our middle schools. So is there maybe we start at the most simple thing we can do, the math 135, you know, figure out some way to give some of our middle school teachers more content knowledge. And then, I mean, maybe this is the wrong way to go about things, and I'm just being impatient, but it seems to me that we need to start somewhere. And I worry that the professional development piece is so broad. One thing I worry, it's going to take for several years to really put into place the right way. And then I worry that after a few years, what's going to come around the pike, you know, something new that then we'll have to start all over. And will that some of that be outdated? And will, you know, that's kind of how I see sometimes in education things work. So I guess what I'd really like to do, my two main thoughts now are that I would really love for us to be able to give you something to work on now while we're working on what we really want you to do. And then also something, give you more guidance and then something we can do now.
Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Rivera. Oh, sorry, Superintendent.
Well, that's okay. I can wait, but I will have some comments later.
Okay. Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Mathiak.
As far as I can tell, Beth, there is nothing really set up for the 2009. The course that's going to be developed by UW-Madison isn't really organized yet. We had to work on that, first of all. And, you know, the other thing is that this is so important. So please understand, we're not disagreeable, we're not oppositional, that this is incredibly important to our districts. And we realize that every step of the way, we want it to be right. And there were steps along the road in balanced literacy and reading that were not right. So let's learn from those mistakes, and let's see that we don't get it wrong this time in the beginning, or there are too many mistakes or errors, and let's make sure that our teachers are getting what they need to help our kids. And that's where it's coming from right now. But I don't see anything ready to go in the fall. Do you?
Well,
I don't know. Except give them some... go ahead.
The intent, if I may, was to be able to use the fall to do the final, the planning for the implementation in the spring and to have the first cohort. And it's identified as the intent is to train everyone in middle school. With the first group coming in are people that are, you know, expressing, I'm willing to do this, so we can see how this works as a first offering. So that's the intent, was to do the planning, finishing the planning in the fall and implementation in the spring of next year.
The first cohort, yes.
But there's no course ready for the content. See, so we're going, the cart is going in front of the horse. And if there's no content, how can you have a cohort group studying the content if there's no content for them yet?
That's what we want to develop. Between now and the end of the year would be quite a challenge to get that accomplished. But, you know, that's why we're spending, we've set out the fall semester to work with the university to develop the content.
Okay.
And we didn't feel that we were going to be ready to go in the fall. There was really no feasible way of doing that. So that's why we put that cushion of time in there to be able to try and, I completely agree with you, do this right the first time.
Yeah.
And that's why we needed that time to try and develop it. And that's why we need the people to be able to do that with the university.
Let me see if I can get this straight then. At the same time this cohort is meeting.
The cohort doesn't start until the spring.
Spring, okay. Now, when is the content class going to be available to our teachers?
Spring.
But I'm still comes back to my same point. They haven't studied the content yet, so they're studying the pedagogy with the content they don't have yet. I don't get what's happening, and please explain it to me then, please.
So, I'm not sure if we're talking about the same staff here.
I don't.
All right. So we would like to start in the spring of 2010, excuse me, with our first cohort of 25 teachers. We thought it would be good to start with voluntary teachers in the beginning. And what we want to do is we want to spend this coming fall with two teaching learning staff members, UW Math representative or representatives, and UW Math and Math Ed, Math Ed representative or representatives. Those folks working collaboratively to develop what this 2 years, this 210 hours of professional development is going to look like. What's the content? What is the math that these teachers are going to engage in? What is the highest leverage point that we can, you know, really focus on to support our middle school math teachers? And so that team of four or potentially more people are the people that are going to populate the content of this course. All I've been able to do is put down kind of a framework, a structure as to how this might look over the course of 2 years, what the time put in by this cohort and when this time might come, you know, when they might have to engage in it. As far as the content of the course and the actual mathematics and the problems these teachers are going to engage in, that's what we need this collaborative group of people to figure out.
So these workshops
are
actually to discuss what they want in the content from the university class?
No.
So
Well, what we need is, what we're advocating for is a planning team that will work in the fall to design the delivery system for this retraining. That's the main work coming
into
the fall.
That's what you need for us for the fall.
That's correct. And we had identified some resources to accomplish that, and I think you know, there's a couple ideas I have about how we could go about expressing that, but I don't want to bog the conversation down tonight. But we're looking at reallocation of some staff within teaching and learning to this initiative in the math area. And then we're also asking for an additional position to be able to mainly focus on the high school. I mean, the
kind of the middle school and beyond aspect
right.
of mathematics we're talking about.
Ms. Pathak, followed by Ms. Severa, followed by Ms. Cole.
I guess as I look at this proposal and I consider what we're being asked to do, I tend to have to say I'm troubled by many aspects of it. One is that we just learned last week that we must approve the budget by May 6th because of FTEs and layoffs and things that are contractually required. That's less than a month away. why we are pushing this through ahead of the larger budget process, I still do not understand, because it seems to me that the same timelines would apply. And in fact, we were told that for something that actually saves money, that is hiring electricians, we can't possibly move forward until summer anyway. So that's something that troubles me. Beyond that, I am deeply troubled by the notion that we're saying we can't do anything to fix other problems in the district, notably the class and a half dilemma that we got ourselves into 2 years ago or a year ago. But we're saying we should keep adding more FTEs to teaching and learning in the math group, which has, frankly, you know, I wonder how that poor social studies person does it, because they're not only covering social studies for all of the schools plus languages. Math has and reading have more FTEs and resources than Rockefeller in that unit. So why we don't have the staff that could be redeployed without extra expense, I don't get it. And I'm having real trouble with that request right now, because I'm being told that, you know, it's just going to be terribly difficult to fix something that actually jeopardizes our most at-risk students. Beyond that, I don't believe I've heard a satisfactory explanation for why what appears to me is that we're developing yet another internal professional development course that'll maybe be collaboratively developed with the university, but basically is going to be another teaching and learning endeavor, when in fact the feedback from staff is that we need to work on how staff receive our professional development that's internally developed. And we're ignoring resources that are at our disposal, right next door, eager to collaborate, eager to work with us at no expense. Because we need to somehow devote this incredible array of yet more resources to teaching and learning to develop something that they should have been doing all along. I struggle with this. I certainly can't support it this week, and unless it's radically revised, I'm not going to be supporting it any week, because it just feels to me like cloaked in the logic that we have to do something because of the math task force, we're being rushed into making a commitment that I'm not seeing what the payoff is, I'm not seeing what the value added is, I'm not seeing why we are not asking teaching and learning to redeploy resources as we do other units every year. If it's that important, then let's make it work, but let's not make it work on the backs of other things that we've broken already because we've made the cuts.
Mr. Vera, followed by Ms. Cole, followed by Mr. Hughes.
I need more room at my table.
Sorry.
Or less binders.
Sorry.
Do we have an actual definition of what a math specialist will be, a district criteria?
There's been discussion about that term, because that came out of the task force.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest way to think about that is we want our middle school math teachers to have more preparation in math content, and we think the model that's being developed here will get them to that point. And right now, that term really doesn't exist in licensure. I mean, you know, like a reading specialist exists in licensure. That doesn't exist. So the best way to think about it is, you know, staff with very defined content knowledge that currently isn't the case. And that was a term, again, borrowed out of that task force report.
Yeah, and that's one of the pieces of, you know, in defining that, that's probably the first thing that needs to go into the design of the actual content of what these workshops and what the coaching will look like. You know, what we've done in the past with these math, you know, the Math Masters Project and the Expanding Math Knowledge, you earn the university credit if you put the time in. What we're talking about here in saying a math specialist has this deep math knowledge, well, that means that we need to somehow assess whether a person has that or not. And there's a whole lot of things we need to talk about before we can get to that point, in the sense of, who's going to do that assessment? What assessment are we using? What is it? Is it just asking them math questions? Is it about pedagogy and how they address student misconceptions? And, you know, what is it? How are we going to measure whether someone has reached this specialist? And that's something that you know, it's something that the university is very interested in, and so that's why we want to work with them to try and define exactly what that is. And it's it's not as straightforward as simply, you know, we're just gonna give you a certificate when you're done with the 210 hours. Otherwise, we may not be reaching the actual goal that is to deepen the math content knowledge that's necessary in order to be an effective middle school teacher. I hope that helps.
Maybe. So defining the math specialist, which is really your recommendation too,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't depend upon the extra FTE, is that correct?
Here, what my assertion is, and you know, if it would help tonight, we can walk through the reallocation within the department and what the additional position would be in a more defined way. If you don't want to go there, you know, I don't need to do that tonight. But this has to happen with some resources. And the other thing I would point out is we don't know yet what the university is willing to provide to us with charge or without charge. There's been a discussion about developing a joint grant, and that might be a funding source to apply university teachers to this. But do we have an understanding with them that what they would provide to us in training would be without charge, or is that not developed yet?
We have not gotten to that level of conversation.
Right. And so I just want to be very clear, that's all part of the discussion that has to take place between us and the university. And my sense is there will be resources needed regardless of who provides the direct training.
But we have to determine the criteria of a specialist before we can develop the training programs, correct?
I guess implicit in that is that a person that completes the coursework that we're identifying the sequence of courses would be at that level. It's how many courses we're looking at over the
well,
2 years?
What we're looking at as far as time is concerned, in the sense of, you know, allocating subtime and summer institutes, is we're looking at about 210 hours of actual face-to-face time doing mathematics or reflecting on mathematics in their classroom, with another person. And as far as how that breaks down into courses, that's something that, you know, the reading specialist has already articulated, and we've actually had a presentation from one of the facilitators of that, you know, from the university system. Our joint committee actually received some information about that and how that's organized, and we're looking at that as a model that we might follow. And so how it breaks down into courses, that's something that this group has to determine.
And from the math task force, basically the math specialist as defined as receiving so many hours of coursework in math. And so that's the language that we're interpreting and trying to flesh out.
Defined by hours.
Yes.
Ms. Cole, followed by Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Bethag.
I just wanted to reiterate again that I think we're moving in the right direction. I just feel like we need to be very careful that we are aware of what the staff needs, and I just don't know if we're there yet. I feel very comfortable doing a survey of some sort and asking staff where they are. I'm also not sure whether we have staff already in our middle schools that would be quite capable of teaching math, but because of staffing or whatever, have been kind of put aside. And so, not put aside, but are maybe teaching something else. Finally, it gets down to, for us, I think someone had alluded to the fact that we're talking about budget right now, and I'm trying to take this broad view of the district, and we have 7 FTEs in our math teaching and learning, approximately 7. And so, I don't see what the benefit is of getting another person unless we've really exhausted all options, whether it's finding out if Edgewood or MATC can provide this content class, or whether we have some other way of funding this than to fund an additional FTE, because it does get to a point where we're not looking at social studies and foreign language. We've got to figure out how we're going to deal with TAG and other issues, and we've already given a lot to the elementaries with our instructional resource teachers, and that went directly to math and reading. And so for me, it's having that clarification of where we're going. And right now, what it feels like we're getting asked is move in this direction, and we'll know more in 3 years. And in the meantime, I just want to make sure the rest of the system is in place. And I think that's going to take a data retreat for the board to have a longer conversation about what we found out through that math task force. And I think that we haven't had that conversation yet. So while I want to give you something tonight, I really don't feel comfortable doing that until we've had that data conversation. And that we know for a fact that we've exhausted all our options, that this isn't just the only option. So,
I just have a quick question, Mr. Hughes. I want Mr. Hughes to speak on this, but just a quick question. I was just conferring with the board president. In terms of the budget for this upcoming year, is this within the budget, this proposal? Is it within the budget now in terms of, in essence, a placeholder? Or
there is a placeholder for mathematics.
Okay. So time-wise, it's not imperative that it gets done tonight, as opposed to something has to happen before can it happen after the budget time? Something.
Yeah, that's very much in line with my thinking that I'll offer a strategy when people are done.
Yeah, I think I understand your strategy, but. Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Mathak.
Gee, I'd kind of like to hear the strategy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what strikes me is that I get a sense of the importance that you feel in this item, but I also get a sense that we need to provide you information that's much more defined in order for you to be able to act. This will take resources, and I just want to be very clear about that. Whether we apply them directly or they are applied through the university, and maybe there are some grant monies that can help with that. So we have not eliminated any option. I think what we need to do, frankly, because of the importance of this, is spend a little bit more time with that committee, get this put into a little bit more detail, and come back to you. But at the same time, what's important is my goal, if it's found acceptable at some point in time, is to be able to implement training second semester next year in whatever form that is. And so I think we can work within that timeline to allow that to happen. The other thing is that there are many other recommendations in here that, if I understood your suggestions a couple times, Ms. Cole, was to have a separate meeting where we'd be able to talk through some of these things. Because one of the, this whole area of high school consistency, if I can just kind of summarize it in a nutshell, I mean, that's a whole area that we want to move into and we need to move into. My goal is to ensure that we're honoring the recommendations as it relates to improved math results for our kids as embodied in the task force report, and this is the first cut at a way to do that. And so I guess what I'm going to urge us to do is to come back in a month or two with more detail on this, with the understanding that we have placed some money in the proposed budget that is tied to this middle school set of middle school recommendations. I would prefer that than to have the ambiguity about what you're acting on tonight and the uncertainty about what the implications are. But I do want to underscore that to be able to implement this, no matter which institution is going to be mainly responsible, there are resources that are going to be required. We need to put more definition to what that is. And I'd rather have that done than to have a misunderstanding about particular items of import in here on anyone's part. My goal would be to try to make this clearer, mm-hmm. and we've got some things to do to allow that to happen.
Mr. Hughes, do you have any more questions or just...
I would just like to say that I appreciate that clarification. It's helpful to me. I guess my approach to this has been a little bit different than the views of the other board members who have expressed their views this evening, because I was just going on the most recent document that was presented to us, and I didn't see it, I guess, as that significant an undertaking to simply say that it certainly seems to me that a clear theme of the task force report was that additional training in math content would be beneficial for our middle school math teachers. I understood this to be a request that we provide sufficient funding to set in place the means by which that training could be implemented beginning in the spring. I didn't see it as locking us into any particular structure of the program, and in fact the training program would be developed in the fall, and I assume that we wouldn't be, you know, out of touch with the development at that point. I assume that we could keep in touch with what was going on, and if it appeared as if there were a more efficient way to do it through the resources of the university, that we could do that. And I don't, I agree that it takes additional resources to provide this training, and it seems to me it makes sense to pursue. So I also think that if we, I believe there's a $100,000 placeholder for implementing the math task force reports in the budget, which would essentially accomplish the same thing as I understand it. So maybe that's sufficient, and we don't have to pursue this further at this point, but I'll defer to others on that.
Ms. Mathak.
Yeah, I just want to be crystal clear that my issue is not whether or not middle school math teachers need more content. I believe that to be a critical issue, and in fact, it was one of the very first things the task force said when it started its work. My issue is, and $96,000 might not look like a lot to you. To me, it's about 1.5 teachers. And that means that's 1.5 FTEs that we're not going to be using to fix the 1.5 mess that we created in our elementary schools. We are being asked to take on faith that somehow something good will come out of expending $96,000 to plan, and then something nice will happen later on. Well, you know, there's been a history of investment in this unit, and to be brutally frank, I think that there is a widespread perception among the public that there has not been a track record of achievement. And so my issue is, if we're going to spend money to implement the task force report, let us spend that money in productive, efficient, and actually ways that are going to achieve the goal as quickly as possible, not long planning processes that result in yet more needs for FTEs, for more planning, for more programs in teaching and learning. I'd rather get closer to the source of delivery. I may be wrong about this, but I don't believe that Stefan Lemp asked for anything from us to develop Math 135 and 136, which are service courses for teachers. They don't serve students in the College of Letters and Science where he is located. You cannot get credit towards a Letters and Science degree by taking those classes. The only way you can apply that credit towards a teaching degree, but it does not apply if you're a math major. So let us be clear about, when we start talking about, whoa, this is going to cost, what will this cost? Yeah, there are costs involved in working with the university. It's called tuition. And 3 credits is about $1,000. 3 credits and $500 worth of books, which is more than you would be doing, is $27,000 for 25 teachers, plus they get the actual 3 credits of bona fide, intensive, whether it's intersession or summer school university work, and it helps them on their step. Certainly, when I read the minutes of the meeting with the math department and the math education department, there was not a lot of enthusiasm for the math master's program. There were a lot of questions about how that had worked, and I think there was a sense that really what they wanted was some real math classes. Now, I may be wrong about that, but my bottom line is we have been asked for as long as I can remember to take things out of our schools. To me, if we're going to expend this money, then it's got to have some wallop to it. And so when you come back, I would like something that's not so much a poke in the eye after we clearly said last week we don't see what we're getting for our money. And we come back with, now we don't, you know, we're going to reallocate for 1 FTE, plus we still need another one, which is, you know, 2 when we started out with 1. But it also troubles me greatly that we aren't getting comparative models for what we might do. And so if this is going to come back, and and I don't view that $100,000 in the budget as a blank check. I would like to see some comparative analysis of different modes of delivering the content education and also that survey of staff to see how they would like that content delivered, because I think those are important pieces that we just don't have right now. And I'm happy to keep that $100,000 placeholder until we have those answers.
Superintendent.
If I could, because the dollar amount's been referenced a couple of times, I just want to be clear what is in our budget proposal to you is $150,000. I mean, I just want to state that that's factually what it is.
Ms. Passman, and then I'll...
Yeah, good. And I'm perfectly willing to support that fact that the money is there and it can be used when and if we get proposals that we can really get our teeth into here. And it seems to me, and I think you said this, Lucy, and tell me if I'm wrong, let's get our teachers started on the content. Content, 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 content. I can't say it enough. Get our teachers to the university, get them to Edgewood, get them to Madison, get them the content. Our college people are telling us our high school people aren't prepared. Our high school people are telling us our middle school is not prepared. Let's get it to them. Let's get them the algebra. Let's get them the calculus. And then let's deal with the pedagogy. That's our push. That's where we should be. That's where the math task force told us to be. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you, my colleagues, for discussing in terms of this issue. I think probably it is wise at this point to withdraw the motion, first of all. And then also, too, going by what Ms. Cole had talked about earlier, and also I guess would like to get superintendent's opinions on this as well, is that I believe the board has spoken very loudly and said this is an item that needs more discussion, further analysis, just... we can talk about it more. And I guess I and Ms. Cole, please chime in. I guess I would see this as a very important item for the board, and then, you know, in terms of our committee, putting that as the high priority at this point in time, and that in our next meeting, maybe discussing this further. And I don't know, Superintendent, in terms of time-wise, maybe you're thinking a couple months from now, but just in terms of, I guess, what are your thoughts in terms of time-wise? What do you think?
Well, here's my feeling is I think it needs more time than the next meeting.
Okay.
But beyond that, I don't know, and I want to talk with staff about how much time.
Okay.
I'll get back to you and let you know.
Okay. Our next meeting in terms of myself, Ms. Cole, and Dr. Applenash and Dr. Nash is next Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably a too quick of a time, I'm just going by what the superintendent said. There probably it just sounds like in terms of the board, people have different issues and challenges, and somehow I believe I see our staff was working on taking notes and everything, but somehow those I think. Whatever questions, comments, concerns, somehow I think need to go to the superintendent so then he can talk to the staff about what those concerns are, and then they can have a conversation that is robust. So when he comes back to us, then maybe a lot of, you know, 95% of those questions might have been answered. And if they're not, then, again, that's where we as a board can really get into the conversation and, you know, talk about the who, what, where, when, and why, and those kinds of things. So I withdraw the motion at this point in time and just know that we will we'll reschedule this for the future. Along with the date of retreat. Thank you, Ms. Wachtel and Ms. Schneff. Thank you very much.
Thanks. We'll be back.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. The next item.